Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I am Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So today we have passed Trinity Sunday. We have already experienced one full week of summer ordinary time, again, in the Northern Hemisphere. It is winter ordinary time in the Southern Hemisphere. More of winter and spring ordinary time in the Summer Hemisphere than there is, you know, for us in the Northern Hemisphere. So always know, again, these two hemispheres both experiencing the same liturgical year, celebrating the same feasts, but in different seasonal contexts. And it's always important to know that seasons do not necessarily affect the liturgical calendar. So Easter is not necessarily a festival of the spring, although because it, you know, it has origins in the Northern Hemisphere, it has sort of spring-like notations, and, you know, the goddess Estre, you know, who we get the name Easter from, was a goddess of the spring and things like that. But there is nothing ever in the prayers that speak of spring, nor are there things that speak of winter in the Christmas prayers. Always remember, again, that it doesn't matter where you find yourself in the hemisphere. The liturgical year is the same and celebrates the same understandings. Now, again, there's always a strange context in moving from fall into winter when you're celebrating Easter in the Southern Hemisphere, and then moving from spring into summer when you're celebrating Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere. And those are kind of things that need to be understood, because where things may be dying and going to sleep in the Southern Hemisphere, you can still talk about life and new life, because that's what you're anticipating happening. And so, again, it's a little bit more difficult and challenging, but nonetheless, it always works. And so this first full week of ordinary time lands us now in the first of three different solemnities that we'll celebrate. Two of them are what we call idea feasts, and then the other one is a feast of the apostles Peter and Paul. So again, we do not begin ordinary time Sunday proper until July this year. So this first idea feast is that of the Holy Trinity. Again, it's like, you know, so why do these idea feasts follow Easter? Shouldn't we just move right from Pentecost into ordinary time and the grind of ordinary time, whatever it is again? But no, they appear to show us that the power of Easter continues. The power of Easter resides. It does not disappear. It does not go away. It is not boxed up for another year. And so these great idea feasts, Holy Trinity, the body and blood of Christ. We have the Sacred Heart of Jesus on a Friday after the body and blood of Christ. And then we get the joy of Saints Peter and Paul as the last Sunday in June. All of these, again, carry with them a certain joy and a certain wonder and a certain brilliance, again, of God's creative ability that, again, turns death to life, turns sorrow to joy, that turns despair into hope. And this is what we're about, you know, as believers in the world. It is not a season of happiness and Easter sandwiched between two times of penitence, you know, both in the winter and now in the summer and into the fall. That is absurd. It doesn't work that way, nor does it work in any of our prayer texts within our Mass. We need to understand that, and we need to live that. And so moving into the joy and the wonder of these Sundays that follow Pentecost is a part of all of that. The problem is that Trinity is a very complicated topic. You know, how do you understand three in one, you know, leaves on a clover, St. Patrick, these kinds of things like that, a four-leaf clover being lucky. Who's that fourth leaf? Is it Mary? Is it us? You know, whatever. Is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As much as we might want the Blessed Mother to be part of that, she isn't, because she is not divine. She is sinless, yes, but not divine. It's a different kind of a thing. So, but this unity is unity of one in three. Again, it's out of many, one, e pluribus unum, and, you know, these kinds of things like that, our motto for the United States, you know. But out of this three, again, there being one. And we're asked to consider that, because it is the life-giving, dynamic, wonderful force that is this Trinity, again, that causes human history to be jerked onto those new courses that resurrection brings us. And so again, this echo of resurrection continuing to permeate itself into our lives. And so again, the first reading from the book of Proverbs that talks about wisdom, and that wisdom being there when God created everything. Again, first reading, focusing on God, but focusing on that element of wisdom. Who is this wisdom? What is this wisdom? Is it Christ? Is it something else? It is a feminine pronoun in Hebrew. So again, it's an interesting kind of a thing. But what does it mean? It's also feminine in a lot of in Latin, you know. So what does this word mean, and how are we supposed to understand this? But that idea that wisdom was there, and that God creates out of this joyful, wonderful wisdom that plays in the creation that God creates, and that wants to be a part of the life of humanity that God creates. Again, this wisdom who wants to guide, who wants to share, who wants to nurture. This is what God gives us to be able, you know, to become the people that we are called to be. And it is wisdom that helps us recognize the fact that we are not just screw-ups. We're not just horrible people. We're not just a mess, that we are something brilliant and wonderfully made. And the more that we act out of that, perhaps, you know, the more life changes for the good, the more life changes for wonder and beauty, the more life becomes, you know, that which God desires it to be. The second reading from Romans, again, talks about Christ. And again, the power of what Christ enables us to do, to boast of our afflictions, because doing that offers us endurance, and out of endurance, you know, offers us, I believe, a sense of courage. And out of that courage offers us a sense of hope. And again, hope does not disappoint. I may have that second one wrong, or the third one wrong, but it is the endurance, you know, affliction, endurance, again, the sense of courage, I think it is, but landing on hope, that hope does not disappoint. And that's what Christ gives us. We are people of hope, constant hope, not people of painful remorse, not people who are constantly screw-ups and making mistakes, not people who are failing and constantly have to point out how many times we're failing again and again, sometimes by even our own church, you know, that wants to kind of make sure that we know how much we are failures, so somehow our church thinks it can do work with us and make us better, when it basically is God's wisdom, and it is the Spirit of Christ that makes us better. It makes us who and what we are. Remember that. Again, as people of hope, we are destined for something more always. We're destined for that wonder and that brilliance and that beauty, again, that God holds out for us and says, you are this. Live it. Live into it and see what happens. And then the Gospel from John, you know, on this day, is basically a hearkening back to those Last Supper discourses, which again, in the Easter season, were promising us the Spirit to guide. Jesus saying, there's too much I could tell you right now, but you wouldn't be able to understand it. So let the Spirit come. Let it open your minds and your hearts to the more. And don't think that there's any stopping of this, because it doesn't. It doesn't stop and just basically say, you've learned enough, you've earned enough, which is why, again, confirmation becomes so problematic, because so many times it's presented as graduating from Catholicism 101 and you go on your way and never have to worry about anything else anymore. And that's not the case. That's never the case. And we fail if we think that that's what that is. The Spirit comes to continually open up our minds and our hearts to challenge us. Again, Pentecost, still living with us, constantly living with us, allowing us to see that more that only God can offer to us. And out of that more to experience wonder and beauty about who and what we are, again, as God's creation. And what does it mean to live in this beautiful creation that God has given us? What to do with it, how to act within it, and how to build the relationships among us that are so crucial to the flourishing of creation and the flourishing of God's promises around us. A continued blessed Easter experience as we continue to move on. A blessed Holy Trinity day to all of you from Franciscan Media, and may the Lord, as always, give you his peace.